Well, let me hear you say the Lord is good. And His mercy endures forever. Praise God. Never get tired of saying that because it's so true and because I am so dependent upon it. Praise God. Well, amen. Praise God. Project has paid off. They're up there working hard on everything, getting everything done, and have a ways to go. You know, sometimes you get into it, when you start tearing out things, you get into a, especially old plumbing, like 60, 70 years old, you get into some things that you need some professional help on. Glory to God. But thank God. Thank God we have it. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Say it again. Say it this way this time. Say, the Lord is good to me.
Lord is good to me.
Amen. Praise God. He is good, isn't He? Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Let's begin in Matthew chapter 4. Yes. Matthew 4, we'll begin in verse number 1. Matthew 4, 1. Says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written. Everybody say, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, the devil's not through. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him in the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, now he's going to misquote scripture because he's going to take it out of context. He said, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again. You know, every once in a while somebody will read some scripture and they'll say, well, I'm reading it word for word. But you got to remember, it's written again. You just can't take one scripture independently of the rest of the scriptures and come up with a doctrine. Glory to God. So Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord. Verse 8, again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. In verse number 8, again it says, again, after the devil had already tempted him twice, it says, again, the devil tempted him with something else. Ever had any agains in your life? I mean, you resist him and stand against him and run him off in this area, then he shows up in another area. And you run him off in that area, and he shows up in another area. Praise God. Amen. It's not always like that. It's not just one continuous test and trial, but sometimes we are in a season of agains, and we should continually resist him and stand against him. He shows up again. As Brother Hagin famously said, he is a persistent cuss. You know, a cuss in that way is a derogatory name, but he is persistent about it. He is a persistent cuss. Well, in verses 8 and 9, the devil promises Jesus the world if he will fall down and worship him. You know, the devil will promise you all kinds of things that look good and sound good. He really will. Amen. And Hebrews 11:25 says that sin is pleasurable for a season. In other words, sin may bring short-term and fleeting pleasure, but it ultimately leads to negative consequences. So whatever the devil offers you always comes, never forget this, it always comes with strings attached. It may feel good momentarily, may look good momentarily. You may cheat somebody in business and come out ahead momentarily, or it may give you some kind of physical momentary pleasure, but it always comes with guilt or shame, or strife, or heartache, and troubles of all kind. Sooner or later, it costs you. Always. Sooner or later, it costs you. See, the wages of sin is death. When we see the word death, we only think of physical death. But death in the Bible also means, you know, death really just means separation. So death in the Bible means being separated from the way that God wants you to live. Amen. Death is separated, being separated from the good things of God. And the wages of sin is death. Of course, it can lead to physical death and, of course, spiritual death. On the other hand, God promises us good things without any strings attached, without any pain, without any sorrow, without any trouble. I like Proverbs 10:22. It says, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Can you say amen? Well, so in Matthew 4:10, you know, it says, you know, the devil tempts him and offers him the kingdoms of this world if he will just fall down and worship him. And Jesus said to him, New King James says away with him, but then my cross reference, like the King James says, and I like this better, says, "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, I rebuke you. Get away from me. "For it is written," now here's where it gets interesting. "It is written, you shall worship," everybody say worship.
Worship.
Everybody say worship.
Worship.
"You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Now, first of all, notice that Jesus quickly and immediately said, "Get behind me." He didn't think on the temptation. He didn't ponder it. He didn't toy around with it. See, that's where we get in trouble. That's when we get in trouble. He immediately said, "Get behind me." Because if the devil can get you to dwell on something or entertain some wrong thought or begin to toy around with it, then you're going to get in trouble. So we must immediately cast down and reject any thought that he brings to our mind that contradicts God's word. The truth is, we are the only one in charge of our thought life.
Yeah.
Amen. I've said this, I think, for about 3 weeks in a row. I'm going to quote Smokey the Bear again this morning. You know, his new ad campaign, I think they've been going for like 70 or 80 years. And Smokey says, "Listen, I can teach you, and I have taught you, wildlife prevention. But only you can prevent wildfires." And that's the same thing. Somebody can teach you. They can be the greatest teacher that ever lived. The Apostle Paul could come back and teach you to cast down imaginations as he taught us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But still, the Apostle Paul himself would have to cast down his own wrong imaginations that come to his mind. You could raise 3 people from the dead in the last 2 months. But still, you have to deal with wrong thoughts that come to your mind. And only you can do that. You are in charge of your thought life. I am in charge of my thought life. I can't think for you, and you can't think for me. Amen. And so really, there are 4 important things to know when it comes to our thought life. Number one, you must know something. You must know that controlling our thoughts is an absolute must to overcoming temptations and to overcoming satanic schemes to defeat you. Controlling your thought life is an absolute key to victory. There is no victory apart from controlling your thought life. I'll say it again. You must know this. You must know that controlling your thought life is an absolute must to overcome temptations and to overcoming satanic schemes to defeat us. Number two, we are the only one in charge of our thought life. We are the only one that can control our thought life. Number three, we can't keep wrong thoughts from coming to our mind. This is so important. You can't keep wrong thoughts from coming to your mind, but we don't have to entertain them when they show up. You can't help it because wrong thoughts come to your mind. But you don't have to entertain them when they come to your mind. There's 2 important things in this point 3 here. Number one, you're not guilty just because the devil placed a wrong thought in your mind. See, a wrong thought comes to your mind just because you have the flesh, just because you live in this world. And of course, we have the devil to deal with. And the devil will even suggest wrong things to you and then accuse you of being an ugly, terrible Christian because you had that wrong thought. No, you're not. You're not guilty just because a wrong thought came to your mind. You're not guilty just because you're tempted. Glory to God. But you see, when that wrong thought comes, you do have to do something about it. You like Jesus, you got to respond. You got to respond to it. You got to say, "Get behind me, devil." You got to rebuke the devil and replace that wrong thought with, "It is written," and then tell him what the Word of God says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And see, you know, there's an old saying. It goes back 300 years. You can't help it that birds fly over your head. Would you feel guilty because a bird flew over your head today? Of course not. But you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. See? You ever had a bird touch the top of your head? Oh, geez, that's kind of... Anybody ever... Am I the only one? That's happened to me 2 or 3 times in my 73 years. You know, I walked out the front door one day, and Margaret had a wreath. She always has a wreath out there, you know, and she changes it 4 or 5 times a year. And I walked out there, and this bird flew out of it and hit me on the top of the head. I mean, you know, it's like I knew jiu-jitsu. I mean, you do not allow that bird to touch your head very long. You want to get rid of it immediately and quickly. That's the same thing you have to do with wrong thoughts. I said, that's the same thing you have to do with wrong thoughts. You have to immediately get rid of them. But don't condemn yourself because you had them. Another old saying is, you can't help who knocks on your door. Anybody could come up and knock on your door, but you don't have to invite them in your house, sit them down, give them tea and biscuits, and entertain them. And that's the way it is with wrong thoughts. They can knock on your door, the door of your mind, but you can reject them and cast them down, as the Word of God teaches us, and replace them. And then number four, we can. Everybody say, I can. We can, as the Word of God instructs us and commands us, control our thought life. If we can't do what God tells us to do, then God is unfair and unjust. But God is not unfair and God is not unjust, and so we can do what He tells us to do. And one of the things He tells us to do is to reject wrong thoughts and to cast them down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus, when He was tempted, He took the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God, and said and responded, "It is written." He replaced the wrong thoughts with godly thoughts. And keep this in mind. We're not just talking about temptation to sin. A temptation to sin is a wrong thought, so you ought to cast that down, of course. But not only that, you should cast down any thought that is not in line with God's Word is a wrong thought. Any thought that is not in line with God's Word is a wrong thought and can be and should be replaced with "it is written." By wrong, I mean it's not true. I don't mean that it's evil and sinful necessarily, but it's not true. You know, a thought comes to your mind that tells you you're not loved, nobody cares about you, you're not accepted. Well, the Word of God says you are accepted in the Beloved, capital B. You're accepted in Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're not rejected. You are accepted. And if God accepts you, then there's no such thing as being rejected. So when that thought comes to your mind, that is a wrong thought in the sense that it's not true. It's incorrect. It's not the right way to believe and think, and it should be rejected. If a depressive thought comes to your mind, you should reject it because there's no reason for a Christian to ever be depressed in the light of the truths of God's Word and the promises of God's Word. Whoa, glory. If a fear thought comes to your mind, you should reject it. If a suicidal thought comes to your mind, you should reject it. If a thought of God's not going to meet you, God doesn't supply your needs, you know, you're not going to make it financially, that's a wrong thought. It's wrong because it's contrary to the truth of God's Word and should be rejected. It's not true. It's incorrect. And you should reject it. Can you say amen? Amen. But here's what Jesus said when He was tempted to fall down and worship the devil. He said, because here's the crux of my message here. Oh, that was just free. You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. You shall worship the Lord God, and Him only shall you serve. Well, that's a familiar thought, isn't it? You know, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, and one of the most famous passages of the Old Testament is God told the Jews, you know, He said, the Lord your God, you shall serve the Lord your God is one. I mean, there's only one God. And you shall love Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your strength. You shall only serve Him. That's Deuteronomy 6:4. And there's similar passages. But actually, when Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve, this is a direct quote from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 13, and from Deuteronomy 10, verse number 20. Amen. And you can see that if you've got any kind of cross-reference Bible, you can look over here. You know, I look over here and it tells me Deuteronomy 6:13 and Deuteronomy 10:20. If you go back and look at Deuteronomy 6:13 or Deuteronomy 10:20, it will refer you to Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10. So this is a direct quote from the Old Testament. And here's what's interesting. Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. But in the Old Testament, instead of saying worship, it says you shall fear the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Interesting, isn't it? You getting that? Jesus said He replaced fear with worship. Old Testament says you shall fear the Lord. In the New Testament, Jesus said you shall worship the Lord. Amen. Well, He's really saying the same thing. Because you see, the fear of the Lord is to reverence the Lord. And to worship the Lord, and to stand in awe of God, because you recognize His greatness and authority and you honor Him and submit to His words above all other words. If I fear the Lord, I reverentially worship Him and honor Him. Do you see that? Do you see that? So Jesus said we are to reverentially worship God and serve Him above everything else. See, it all starts, all, everybody say all. Our relationship with God all starts with we ought to worship the Lord our God. We ought to reverence Him. We ought to worship Him. We ought to acknowledge Him. We ought to love Him with all of our spirit, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. We ought to put Him first and serve Him and love Him above everything else. Amen. Amen. You know, even in the Lord's Prayer, I want you to see this principle. Even right here in Matthew, we're in Matthew, 4. Just right here in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is the disciple says, teach us to pray. And Jesus said in chapter 6, verse number 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So Jesus said, when it comes to prayer, the first thing you should do is worship and honor and acknowledge and hallow the Lord. See, there's a principle here. Matter of fact, you have to understand something about what we all call the Lord's Prayer. This is really a pattern for prayer that gives us certain principles of prayer. It's a model prayer or a pattern prayer. It's not really the new church at prayer, because as New Testament Christians, we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. There's no mention of that here. But this is a pattern of prayer, and it's filled with some prayer principles. For instance, the most important one, first and foremost, before in your prayer life, start off by worshiping God and praising God and hallowing His name. See, put God first. Worship Him, honor Him, recognize Him, hallow His name. As you read through that prayer, another principle we learn is, look, if you're not going to forgive others as you yourself have been forgiven, then your prayer won't work. So those are the principles of prayer that we can learn here. And that's a principle throughout the Word of God. The overall principle is you ought to put God first in all of your life. But the principle I'm particularly talking to you this morning about is you got to honor Him and worship Him and praise Him and hallow His name before you do anything else. Don't just rush in there and start asking Him for things. Rush in there and worship Him and praise Him. Amen. But as far as this prayer being a model prayer, here's something I like from Brother Hagin. He said, this is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. It is more accurately the disciples' prayer, or a model for prayer that He gave to them while He walked with them on the earth. Dispensationally speaking, this is not the church praying, for the disciples did not ask anything in the name of Jesus. When the church prays, she prays in the name of Jesus. However, we can learn many truths concerning prayer here. Jesus was, and that's what we're talking about. We learn to honor Him first and foremost, hallow His name, and so forth. Jesus was not telling the disciples to pray this prayer word for word, Let's all light a candle and recite the Lord's Prayer. Wave it, maybe. That makes you really spiritual. And then recite the Lord's Prayer. Well, in some ways, you might as well be saying, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the kings... what are you doing? Well, maybe when people have those type of services, maybe in some instances, they are acknowledging God and reverencing God, and that's a good thing. But what I'm saying is you're not going to get any results just because you recite the Lord's Prayer in the middle of a crisis. You need to resist the devil and use your authority and believe the Word of God and pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. But as He said, He was giving them principles in connection with prayer that do work for us today, even in the church. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So in this model prayer, it begins with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first principle we learn in this model prayer is that we should come into His presence and start out our prayers. Come into the presence of the Lord or pray to the Lord. The first thing we should do is praise and worship Him. Hallow His name means to reverence and worship You, to worship Him as the one and only true God who is worthy of all praise. Because too many people seek God for what He can do for them without first seeking Him. Don't just seek His gifts, but seek the giver of the gifts. You probably all heard that. That's a good point. So first of all, offer Him reverential respect and worship and praise and acknowledgement because you love him. Now listen very carefully. Jesus taught us to do this. There is absolutely nothing wrong with seeking to receive your needs met. God wants to, he has already in Christ Jesus met every need that you'll ever have. And there's nothing wrong with you receiving those needs or seeking to receive the promises. But some people just want God to meet their needs and rescue them from some problem without really wanting to live for God at all or serve him at all, and there is something wrong with that. We don't just see that every day, but we've seen that in almost 50 years of ministry. People, you know, God rescues them, then they just totally forget about God. Or they just want God to heal them so they'll feel better, then they forget all about God. Amen. Glory to God. But, glory to God, we should worship him and seek him first, then pray, then seek answers, and then seek his help and provision. You know, and even when our motives are pure, yeah, sometimes you're seeking God for something that doesn't even have anything to do with you. You know, on Wednesday nights we come in here, and after our regular service we have a prayer service, and in that prayer service, man, you know, we pray till about 9 o'clock, and you know, we start at 8:28, 8:25, whatever, and so we pray about 30, 35 minutes. And the main thing we pray for at our prayer service is the United States of America and our civil authority. Because, man, we are in a battle right now for the soul of this nation. Yeah, and so I just want to jump in there. I just want to jump in there and start saying, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, and start praying for the government and interceding for the government. Well, I'm not asking anything for myself, but still, I do not do that. And everybody that comes to prayer knows that. I don't do it to take a long time, but I'll take a minute or a minute and a half and say, Father, we're here to intercede for the nation. We're here to intercede for our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We're here to pray for other people and their needs. I mean, here's somebody that they're facing a physical illness that leads to death, and they need to be healed. But before we do any of that, Father, I just want you to know we love you. We come into your presence with thanksgiving, with joy. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. You saved us. You delivered us in every way that a person can be saved. And I'll just pray along those lines for a minute or a minute and a half before I just jump in and start praying for those other things. Because there's a principle here. You need to worship God first. You need to reverence God first. You need to praise God first before you do anything else. I do that when I pray, because I've been practicing this a number of years, or doing this just automatically. If somebody asks me to pray over a meal, I just don't automatically say, Father, we thank you for this food. I say, I worship God just for a few seconds. Father, I just want you to know I'm so grateful that Jesus died on the cross for me and saved me, and I just appreciate it so much. And now, Father, I ask you to bless our food. See, there's a divine principle here that's important. Are you listening to me? And so, you know, when I come to church on Sunday mornings, I mean, it's important to me what I'm doing right now, ministering the Word of God to you and saying things to you that can help you and comfort you and strengthen you and change your life forever. Praise God. So it only takes me 8 or 10 minutes. Well, actually, this morning I took a long ride. It took me 45 minutes to get here. But you know, I only have a few minutes, and I want to jump right in there and say, oh, God, anoint me, use me, make my word strong, you know. But before I do that, I worship and praise God for at least a minute or two. Now, in my daily prayer life, you know, just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when I'm praying, I spend a lot longer than that praising. I spend the first 5 or 6 or 7 minutes or 10 minutes even of my prayer life and just worshiping God and praising God and rejoicing and thanking him for all he's done for me. But even in the little things that come up, the very first thing I do, I just don't ask him to help our country or to anoint me to serve or help me to do something, or I need wisdom concerning somebody else's problem or make me a blessing. Those are all noble and spiritual causes. But still, before I do anything of that, I worship and praise God first. And when I read that scripture and I realized what Jesus was saying, you shall worship the Lord your God, you shall fear the Lord your God, you shall reverentially worship God. That's the first thing you should do. And there's so many scriptures that, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then these things shall be added to you. What do you do with the first 10%? You give the first 10%. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. All of these scriptures, you know, this principle here. Here's what the Lord seemed to say to me, and this is what I wanted to get across to you this morning. He didn't speak it to me. I just had this strong impression to tell people. He said, this will minister to everybody, but it's particularly important for several people that you're ministering to. He said, before you pray for others, before you ask for help, before you're seeking wisdom, you know, you're seeking wisdom for your child, you're seeking wisdom for somebody else, it's not selfish. Before you pray for your nation, before you pray for your child, before you seek his provision or promises for your life, glory to God, amen, before you do that, worship God and praise God and give Him reverence first. And if you do, this is what the Lord, this would seem to be real strong. If you do, I believe you'll get better results. You'll get better results. You'll get better results. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord seemed to say to me. Amen. Again, the overall principle is we need to put God first. And that usually begins with giving Him glory, giving Him praise, and giving Him worship first. That's why when we come to church, the first thing we do is have a praise and worship service. Because we want to reverence God. We want to fear God. We want to worship God. We want to acknowledge Him and show Him respect. Glory to God. And we want to put Him first. But you know, the praise and worship service can last 20 minutes or it can last 45 minutes. And you can sit there through the entire praise and worship service and not have actually worshiped God for 10 seconds. I'm not saying you did that. I'm just saying you can. Amen. Don't get quiet in this Presbyterian church now. I said that several years ago and somebody punched me and said, how do you know this was a Presbyterian church? But you really can. You can go through praise and worship without really in your heart honoring God and praising Him or truly worshiping Him. Again, I believe the Lord wanted me to say to you, if you would reverence and worship God first, you'd get better results. Amen. You're seeking Him for wisdom. You're seeking Him for direction. You're seeking Him for healing. Whatever, you'll get better results if you would first reverence Him. Worship and reverence Him before you pray. Worship and reverence Him before you seek direction, before you ask for anything, before you seek answers, before you claim the promises. Here's something from a man by the name of Randall Greer. I said something to you about him a couple of months ago, I think. Randall Greer has been preaching the gospel, true prophet of God, been preaching the gospel for, man, over 30 years, but maybe close to 40 years now. But Randall was in prison. Actually, he had escaped for the third time and got saved, got radically saved, turned on to God, put him back in prison. Of course, when you've escaped three times, every time you escape, that's another felony charge. And he's escaped three times. So he turned himself back in. And then, of course, he had all his original charges, which were very serious. And they point blank told him, they even sent him a letter saying, boy, you will never get out of here. Forget it, Jack. You will never, ever, ever get out of prison. You're here to stay no matter what you do. Well, he was radically turned on and excited about God and began to learn things about faith and begin to learn things about prayer and confession and so forth. And he believed God and stood. Everything was against him in the natural. There was no hope in the natural that he could ever be released from that prison. But he believed God and didn't yield to doubt and fear and unbelief. And in a matter of 3 months, they released him. Hallelujah. But he said this. This is an interesting story. I thought about this story as the Lord was showing this to me and sharing this with me. And I thought, oh, I remember reading something from him. But, man, this guy, there's newsletters from 10 years ago. And I went to his website and turned on the first newsletter, and there it was from years ago. He said, the Lord taught me this years ago. He said, when I was in prison, he said, I was the pastor of the convict church. Yeah. Not the chaplain of the whole prison, but I was the convict chaplain. And he said, we had church 7 days a week in a small room. The guards would allow me to go into the room 10 minutes before everyone else. I would kneel down on the concrete floor, place my head under a small bench, and pray. And I asked the Lord what He wanted me to do for the service that day. As I asked the Lord, He would give me scripture and a song or two each time, and so I would go out and do that joyfully. I prayed this way and got results for 6 months. One day I knelt to pray as usual. The Lord did not answer me, and He seemed withdrawn. That ever happened to you? I was puzzled and concerned and didn't have much time. Finally, I asked the Lord what was wrong. He said, it's time for you to grow up. You always come in asking me for things, even though He's not asking for Himself. He's asking how to be a blessing to somebody else. But the Lord said, you always come in asking me for things, but you never think, praise, or worship me for what I have already done from you. From now on, I want you to come into my presence based on Psalm chapter 100, especially verse 4. Here's another example of what we're talking about from the Word of God. You know the scripture. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Well, when the Lord Jesus told me that, I immediately repented and told him I was sorry. I corrected myself and purposed to always thank, praise, and worship him before. Everybody say before. Before I ever prayed about anything else. I started worshiping him right then, and he told me what to do in the service. I joyfully praised and worshiped him for it. And he says, put God first in your personal daily life. Before you pray about anything else, take time to thank, praise, and worship him. Thank him, praise him for what he did for you on the cross and for shedding his blood for your sins. Thank him for giving you eternal life and for healing your physical body by the stripes he took for you. Thank him for giving you authority over the evil spirits in his name. Worship and glorify him with joy and thanksgiving. These are just a few general things. The list goes on and on and on, but you get the idea. So we just keep this principle, you know, like Psalms 100, just keeps coming up. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Glory to God. Again, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom, then all these other things you need, and they are legitimate needs, all these other things you need. See, the verse before that says, your Father knows that you have need of these things. So seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Glory to God. So again, we see a pattern here and everywhere else in the Word of God. Give God reverential worship and praise, and first honor him, acknowledge him first. Then you'll see manifestations. Manifestations of what? Manifestations of his power. Manifestations of his help. Manifestations of wisdom. Manifestations of provision. Manifestations of deliverance. Then you'll see manifestations. All that you need will be added. If you'll do this first, the Lord said, you'll get better results. All right, quickly turn with me to Psalms 34. Psalms 34. You're awful quiet out there. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Psalms 34. Verse number 8. I love this scripture. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There's that word again. Oh, fear the Lord, all you saints. There is no want. Cross reference says there is no lack. How many of you want, no lack in your life? You know, sometimes what you need is wisdom. When you get wisdom, then that solves your problem. When God shows you, sometimes you need direction. When God gives you direction, that solves your problem. There is no want, no lack for wisdom, for direction, for healing, for health, for anything. There is no want, there is no lack to those who fear him. But there's that word, oh, fear the Lord. Remember Jesus, when he translated from the Old Testament where it says fear the Lord, he translated that as worship the Lord. So, oh, fear the Lord, give him reverential worship. Glory to God. You shall fear the Lord. Jesus said you shall worship the Lord. Psalms 34:9, Amplified Classic, not the Amplified, but the Amplified Classic says, oh, fear the Lord, revere and worship him. Revere and worship him. The Passion Translation says, instead of fear the Lord in Psalms 34:9, it says, worship God in awe and wonder. And the next line says, there is no lack, there is no want to those who fear him. There is no lack, there is no want to those who worship God in awe and wonder. There is no lack, no want to those who revere and worship him. Again, the Amplified Classic translates the last line as, there is no want to those who truly revere and worship him with godly fear.
Amen.
Seek first the kingdom, all these things. Tithe, then first, then God will rebuke the devourer and open up the windows of heaven. All of that, you know. When you enter into prayer, before you pray about your needs or the needs of others, hallowed be your name. Like, I'm going to worship him first. I'm going to put him first. Glory to God. So again, put him first, seek him first, honor and worship him, give him thanks and praise and glory and honor first, and then you won't lack for the help that you need, the strength that you need, the direction that you need, the provision that you need, the wisdom that you need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Giving God praise and glory first, and then seeing manifestations of his glory and power is a pattern we see throughout the Word of God. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? I mean, Paul and Silas in their midnight hour of crisis with their backs bleeding, in prison, were singing praises to God. And as they were singing praises to God and worshiping Him, God set them free. Jehoshaphat and the Israelites were surrounded by a vast army. What was it? Five different armies? I forget now. But a vast army. Now, you understand what this army was intended on doing? This army was intended on killing them and taking their city over and making slaves out of them and controlling their city. They were delivered from a vast army that was intent on destroying them but they sent out the praisers and saying praise. They were delivered as they praised God. They were delivered as they worshiped God, as they acknowledged God and put Him first. Oh, glory to God. And we've all experienced it. We see this throughout the Word of God. As people pour out praises to God and worship God, the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. We see that collectively. We see that individually in our lives. Have you ever been praising and worshiping God and then all of a sudden He reveals something to you and it just changed your situation? You're praising and worshiping God and all of a sudden you got your answer. You knew what to do. You're praising and worshiping God and He encouraged you or comforted you by His Spirit. You're praising and worshiping God and He made known His future plan for your life. And that happens to us collectively. You know, we're praising and worshiping God and the power of God comes on the scene and people get healed, people get delivered, people get set free. Somebody gives a word of prophecy and it comforts people. But it almost always comes on the heels of praise and worship and reverence for God. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? A spirit of praise and rejoicing and worship should be a characteristic of every believer in every church. If it's not, make a change. See, we should not pray. We should not minister. We should not seek after things. We should not seek to be even used of God or to be anointed of God or to do anything else without first honoring God with reverential acknowledgement and worship. Do this. This is the last line. Do this first from your heart. Do this first from your heart in faith. Got to do everything in faith. Do this first from your heart in faith, and I believe you'll get better results. That's what the Lord said to me. Glory to God. Well, let's worship God a second. Why don't you stand up with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why don't you do this? Why don't you just begin to worship Him and praise Him from your heart? Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how glad you are that He died on the cross for you. Tell Him you're grateful for His provision and His plan for your life. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Glory to God. I mean, He loves to hear your voice. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and praise Him. Father, we just love You and praise You and worship You and magnify You and give You glory and honor. Oh, You're so good. We thank You that You have in the past done so much for us and helped us in so many ways and given us a word when we needed it, given us the direction that we needed, inspiration that we need when we needed it, anointing when we needed it. You've used us to intercede for others and to pray for others and help other people. And so we don't just ignore that. We thank You for what You have done. We thank You for what You have done for this nation. Glory to God. But we just worship You and praise You and magnify You and loves You and honor You and give You all glory and give You all praise. Oh, glory to God. We love You. Hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name, Holy Father. We love You. I love You. We praise You. We worship You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Thank You that You saved us in every way that a person can be saved. Thank You that You saved us in every way that a person needs to be saved. Thank You that we're healed and whole and delivered and rescued. Thank You for filling us with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, and giving us the ability to pray in other tongues and to pray about things that are beyond our mental capabilities. Thank You for providing for us. Oh, glory to God. I thank You for full provision and for abundant financial blessings in the name of Jesus. Thank You that You protect us and protect our families. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You that You make us fruitful. Glory to God. Thank You that You use us and make us productive in Your kingdom. Thank You that we have favor with men and favor with God. Oh, we just worship You and praise You and love You. And, oh, Father, praise Your holy name. Praise You, praise You, praise You, praise You, praise You. Glory to God. Glory to God. Sidi Levabakar Rishte Mahaha. Estelebakur Ronshtehihi. Ah, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That's what I said in tongues. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, 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 bless the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We come into your presence with singing. Glory to God. And with joy, joy, joy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so that's what you do. That's what you do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You have the words to that need? Glory to God. Let's sing this together as we go this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy. Worship Him because He's holy. He shed His blood. He's worthy.
Jesus Christ be lifted up. Holy, holy Lamb of God, anointed one. Blessed is the King to come. Seated on
else is worthy. No one. You are worthy. You are worthy. We love you and praise you. Glory to God. There's no one like you. You are God, creator of the heavens and the earth, creator of the seas. And you are God. And we worship you.
There is no one holy.
Say, no one else is worthy. He is worthy to receive all glory. I give you all glory. And I enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And I am thankful, thankful, thankful to you. Glory to God. 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 Again, again, if you do that, if you'll make a practice of that, I believe you'll get better results. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen? Do you want to say something? No? You're just blessed. I'm glad you're blessed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed and the Lord is good and I love you. God bless you. We love you. We love you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Well.